Joining us now, he's the head golf professional up at TPC Boston. Mark Novoselsky joins us. What's going on, Mark?
Oh, how's it going? Everything is good up here, and we're looking forward to having the top 100 players out here this week.
Yeah, it's always interesting. You guys get one of the rare occurrences where you have a Friday start and a Monday finish. It's always interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, looking around the property today, we only had about 10 players here today, and we don't open up to the public until Wednesday. So we'll see some guys kind of stagger in over the first few days, and then, you know, really Wednesday, everybody's hitting it hard, and then Pro-Am Thursday before the start of the event.
All right, so give us a little indication of what the weather's going to be like for the tournament this week, and how's that going to impact the conditions, and how's the summer been to, number one, kind of set the conditions coming into the week?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the summer's been a little on and off. Some you know, real nice days, some wet days. Definitely more rain than we had in the past, and most specifically last year, we actually have water in the pond on number two this year. So it's looking forward to what can go on there. You can see, I think, less players going for that in two, but looking at the extended forecast, we look to be sunny and 70 most all days of the tournament. So gives our golf course maintenance team just the perfect opportunity to have the golf course in pristine condition.
Yeah, so when we look at the actual conditions, I mean, what's our rough going to look like? So it sounds like we might play a little bit firm and fast.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we haven't seen much rain here over the last 2 weeks or so. So it's been, if you talk to Tom Broder, our superintendent, ideal conditions for them to get the golf course right where they want it for the tournament.
All right, so par 71 golf course. Rory McIlroy started off last year shooting even par in the first round. I guess living by the adage of, you know, I can't win it in day one, but I can certainly lose it, and then going 67, 66, 65. You know, we saw some really good scoring. We saw a couple 64s out there. What does this golf course give you, and what can it take you away hole by hole? I mean, are there some holes that, you know, guys are just flat out attacking, and are there some holes that these guys are just kind of going, you know, par's not a bad score in this hole?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, kind of what I hear from the players is the general consensus is the first four holes are pretty gettable, the last four holes are pretty gettable, but hold on to the seat of your pants for the middle 10, because those are some pretty challenging holes that you have to deal with. So I think you look for a lot of players to try and score early in the round and score late in the round, but some really tough holes in between, and then we did some renovations this fall with Gil Hands to strengthen the 12th and 13th holes. So it's going to be a good test this year.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting last week in round one of the playoffs. You know, Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth go to the 18th hole to have a playoff, and Dustin Johnson just said, "You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and fly it out there 340 yards and leave myself a little flip wedge in where." Jordan Spieth still hit it 315 off the tee and had like 187 in. When we start talking about the finishing holes in this golf course, kind of give us a feel on how they set up, you know, not only if we have a playoff, but as we're coming down the stretch, if a couple of guys in the final group are going toe-to-toe with each other, you know, how do these holes set up lengthwise and you know, maybe skill-wise? Does it play into somebody's hands?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the biggest thing you see is you start on 16, the par three. You know, typically plays with a new tee we built a few years ago, about 185 yards. And you know, you saw the year that Ricky Fowler won. That was the year Stenson went in with the lead on that hole and put one in the water, and Ricky was able to come out ahead. And you know, you move right along to 17, which has been kind of a deciding hole in the tournament. Steve Stricker birdied 17 and 18 the year that he won, and Webb Simpson won on 17 in the playoff with Ches Reavy, and then 18 the par five that most guys are going to go for and two, but we've seen guys be a little bit unsuccessful in that, like Billy Horschel a few years back, and real risk reward par five there to finish the round.
Yeah, it's always interesting too when you know. And we saw it here in Charlotte at the PGA Championship. I mean, you know, we had a fairly docile-looking par 3 that, you know, we had a par 5 converted into a par 3 and a par 4, the fourth hole. A lot of complaints by these guys. You know, I mean, it could be a 7, 8, or a 9 iron, depending on where the pin was and where the tee markers were. Well, you're complaining about the greens, and my point was, man, wouldn't you just would you rather see a 245 or 250 yard par three with a flatter green as opposed to something that you're, you know, hitting to a certain spot in the green? It makes you kind of wonder sometimes that why don't we have more difficult, like, mid-range par threes as opposed to just having all these long ones? And that's kind of how your 16 sets up, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think it's always good to have variety, and the one thing on 16 is the wind's always swirling. So if it gets a little breezy up here, like it's known to do, you know, late summer, early fall, then you know, even a short par three can be a little challenging.
And I've also think in the past too, with the way that the stands and everything and the trees are set up there, that sometimes there can be wind, and the players back on the tee don't feel it on 16.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, some new hospitality there. They have a double-decker tent behind the tee, which, you know, could make that even a little more challenging to figure out the wind conditions.
All right, so from a perspective of somebody who's out there all the time on this golf course, what is your favorite hole in the golf course? And I know everybody has that one hole on their own golf course that's just your nemesis. What's the favorite and what's the nemesis on this golf course?
I tell you what, it's something I think about all the time because it changes from year to year. But the one I can tell you I've had the absolute hardest time with this year is a pretty mundane hole. It's the ninth hole. And, you know, kind of like you mentioned yesterday, DJ hitting his shot in the playoff 340 and Spieth 315, but he is still 95 yards behind him. I seem to fan everything out right on nine. Instead of having a pitching wedge, I got a five iron into the green. So that one's been fun for me. But you know, I've picked up a lot of my strokes early in the front nine. You know, fourth hole, fifth hole, sixth hole, making you know, a bunch of birdies there. So my favorite hole has been you know, the first. I'd say the first seven on the front nine, just getting out there and getting some birdie chances and. You know, holding on the rest of the round, see if I can keep it going well.
Again, we're talking with Mark Novoselsky, the head golf professional up at TPC of Boston. Kind of Mike and I's stomping grounds up that way. I mean, you know, we both grew up in Massachusetts area, so we know all about the weather conditions and how things can go and how summers are and how winters can be as well. So when you guys start talking about, you know, maintaining this golf course, you know, from a standpoint of conditions, how hard does it get these days to have that balance between, you know, kind of going green, if you will, and doing everything that you can to keep this golf course manicured down to the fine perfections?
Yeah, it's, you know, we got a crew here. Tom Broder, our superintendent, he's been here since day one. He's been here since before the golf course was even grown in. So to say that guy knows every blade of grass out here is an understatement. So he, you know, his preparation for the season begins in the fall, and he's making sure that he gets the proper treatments on it in the fall after the event to make sure everything comes through the winter well, and he just kind of maintains that, you know, throughout the year. And typically right around August 1st, we go cart path only, which allows him to, you know, less traction on the actual golf course, which allows him to get all his fertilizers and bulk up everything that he needs to get this place rocking and rolling for tournament conditions.
All right, so we've seen the winner the last, heck, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4 times in the last 6 years come in at 269. I'm going to put you a little bit feet to the fire here. If you're thinking Sunday afternoon, what's a good number that you could sit on, put your feet up, and maybe have an adult beverage or two? I'm sorry, Monday, I should say, and watch what happens.
If I had to guess, I would say, you know, Rory won at 15 under last year. His 65 in the final round was incredible with the weather conditions that we had rolling in. But the way the weather outlooks this year, you know, I think we might be able to get a few shots lower than that. So I think you might have to do a little bit better in that 15 if you're going to walk away with this tournament.
All right. So does this course, being par 71, we haven't seen one in a while. Is there a 59 watch at this golf course, the way the conditions are playing? I mean, if we get the good weather you're talking about, we got some firm, fast conditions. If somebody's getting it in the fairway, controlling their golf ball, rolling the rock, is there a 59 watch out there?
You know what? It's definitely going to take somebody accurate off the tee and getting the putter rolling. you know, I think our rough is, from what our members have told me recently, it's nice and thick. So somebody's going to have to be accurate off the tee, and you know, I know the greens are going to be rolling perfect. So it's going to be able to get those approaches tight. You know, we've seen some low scores here in the past with, you know, 60, 61 a couple times, but, you know, it's going to be difficult. But these guys are the best players in the world. So, you know, I think it's been a few years since we've had anything real low. So, you know, I think the course has kind of matured a little bit, and it's fighting back. So I think it might be difficult to get that low.
You know, it's interesting. One of the hardest transitions I ever made, going from playing golf in the Northeast to playing golf in the Southern states, was going from, and it didn't really matter. A lot of times, you know, you get that thick fescue up in the Massachusetts area, but you know what the ball's going to do. You know it's going to sit down at the bottom of it, you know, when you hit your tee shot in it. You know around the greens it's going to kind of sit down at the bottom. Now, it may be thick and hard to get through, but you kind of know the ball's sitting at the bottom. Down here, you know, in this Bermuda grass, you get maybe 3 inches of Bermuda grass, and you don't know if that thing's sitting on top, if it's halfway down, if it's a third of the way down. You can go under it sometimes. So from that perspective, what kind of shots are we going to see these guys hitting from around the greens with maybe some thick rough? I mean, it's going to be a little different than what we see down here in the South.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, depending on, you know, I think you can get a variety of different lies in the rough around here. You know, whether the grades, the blades of grass are going against you, or if they're kind of down, you know, I think more often than not, with the green surfaces being as good as they are, you're just looking for guys to get the ball on the green and get it rolling towards the hole, that they can kind of utilize some of their green reading knowledge to see if they can knock a few of those in.
All right, you made mention earlier too that you reopen on Wednesday after the tournament. I'm imagining maybe one or two members want to go play the course on Wednesday after the tournament's over.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. last I looked, I think our first open tee time was about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's always a fun day. We leave the pin positions out there the same as the final round. So you know, every member wants to get out there and play the same tee boxes, play the same pins, and see how they can compete against the best players in the world.
All right. So have there ever been any rumors of guys going out and on that first round after the tournament with all the tournament conditions and going low? Have you had anybody go low?
Yeah, I think we get more triple-digit scores than we do closer to par there.
Well, so before I let you go, let me talk a little bit about that. So when you guys set up a golf course, I mean, here you are, you have a championship golf course, one of the playoff events for the PGA Tour. How do you set up the golf course every day for the members to make sure that you're not playing 5.5-hour rounds out there?
Yeah, it's you know, one thing that we work hard on is making sure that our members and their guests they're playing the appropriate tee boxes. You know, we have tee markers set up from, you know, 6,000 yards, 6,200 yards, 6,400 yards. So, you know, we try and help to coach them to their ability that they're playing the correct tee boxes. And, you know, we do have some members that can play the appropriate tee boxes and shoot some really good scores out here. But it's definitely a stretch when you get them out to 7,100 and change and seeing how the game changes a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, what would be, so if 7,100 and change, what would be a good average length of that golf course for the membership?
Yeah, I'll say it. Our members' black tees are 6,484, and that's where we see the majority of play. But you know, over the past few years, we've started to encourage players to move up a little bit, and so our white tee measures 66, just right around 6,000 yards, and we've actually implemented what we call blended tee, half white tees, half black at 6,200 yards. And, you know, just kind of get people to transition away from that black tee to play a tee that, you know, at the end of the day, they're having more fun with because they're scoring better. So, you know, just getting everybody comfortable in the tee box that they feel they should be playing.
All right. Well, Mark, man, we always appreciate talking to you. Have a great weekend out there this week, and we'll be watching on TV.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.